Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The Raptors are the best team. Does that mean Kawhi Leonard's the best player? I mean, he's got an argument. I think he has the best winning percentage in the history of the playoffs. But, you know, part of that was being on San Antonio's team when he was younger and now what he's doing in Toronto. I mean, the guy is sensational. We know what he can do defensively. He can score in the tight spots in the mid-range. He pursues the basketball relentlessly, has a nose for it, can shoot the three. I mean, he is a problem. But there are other great players in the league, and I think right now that title is up for debate more than it's been in a long time because of LeBron's situation, who, you know, you could make the argument it should still be LeBron's title. You know, you don't lose the title by count out or disqualification. And he got hurt this year. Was he the best player in the NBA in December? I think he was. But he's also old, so it's very likely he's no longer the best player in the NBA after the injury and because of the age. Then you got Kevin Durant, who is tearing it up in the playoffs and has been out. And you got Kawhi Leonard. And I know people like to make fun of Steph Curry whenever he has a bad game or whatever. Who was better in game three, Kawhi Leonard or Steph Curry? Right? I mean, like, and Kawhi was very good in that game, too. Steph was unbelievable in that game. They just lost the game, but dude had 47, 8, and 7 in that game, you know? Like, so I think those are the four guys who have a case, and you could argue amongst yourselves or with me about that. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Eric in Sacramento? Eric, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man, love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, check it out. We are witnessing the beginning of the end, baby. This is it. It is over. No more shimmying and shaking from Curry. It's done. The run is done. And I'm glad to see it. I'm a Kings fan, obviously. It's time for the Kings to take over the Northern Cali. And on top of that, just the whole story of the Raptors. What Ujiri did, just putting all his chips in the center of the table and going all in. I mean, what a gutsy move he did. And I love that it's working out for him. I mean, I love that move and what he did. And I love that it's going to work out for him, man. I just, the whole story about it. And thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
I totally agree. I mean, I think the region is a cool story. What you've seen, the energy from Canada, from Toronto specifically, and what Ujiri did to build this basketball team. Because, look, they were a really good team. And he got criticized a lot for the move he made with the coach last year. You know, I was surprised by it. But that's worked out. And then, obviously, the risk he took with the Kawhi Leonard trade. You know, he traded away a guy who'd been very good for that team for a long time in DeRozan, but hadn't quite gotten it done in the biggest spots for a guy that you didn't know if he was going to be there. You still don't know if he's going to be there next year. But doesn't matter, right? He could walk out the door as long as they win one more game. As long as he plays and wins one more game for the team, it will have been a resounding success. I still can't imagine Kawhi's going to be out of there, though. That's a tough, tough thing to believe, even if he really wants to be somewhere else. Jason in Niagara Falls. Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope you're right on that Kawhi thing. I hope he does stay. But, I am kind of biased watching Kawhi in these playoffs and what he's done for the best player in the league right now, both ends of the court, his defense, his offense. But I think Giannis, I think he's the most gifted athletically right now. And once he gets the mental part of his game a little bit more established, I think he can be one of the best in the league. But, yeah, we still need one more game, and being a Bills fan, it's never over until it's over, until the zeros are there, and that's game four, and no Music City Miracle or anything like that. So, yeah, one more win.
Yeah, Giannis is – look, Giannis is a freak. It's pretty easy word to use, right? But skill-wise, I think he saw and we all saw where he needs to get better, and that's okay. He's young. He very well could be – I put him right on the outside of that conversation with Harden. It's funny, the two guys who are competing for the MVP, I would probably put it 5 and 6 right now in the league, along with Davis. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody else. But those are the guys right outside of LeBron, Durant, Kawhi, and Curry. Buck in Birmingham, Alabama. Buck, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, let me say that I'm a Sixers fan. And I want to answer to both of the questions of the morning about if KD comes back, would it make that much difference? I don't think it will, because Kawhi Leonard probably would check him, so what's the deal? And when you think about Kawhi Leonard, I mean, in the discussion about being the best player in the NBA, do you have rose-colored glasses on? Are you witnessing what I'm seeing? This guy has come off a major injury of last year. Why does Kawhi Leonard have to be the Rodney Dangerfield in the NBA?
Well, he's getting plenty of respect. I mean,
he's the best player in the NBA as we see.
He arguably is. I mean, was Dirk Nowitzki the best player in the NBA in 2011?
Well, let's not go into retrospect. We're talking about right now. Who's the best?
No, but I'm trying to make a parallel point. Was Dirk Nowitzki the best player in the NBA in 2011?
We're talking about now. Is he the best player now? I'm saying that Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the NBA, bar none, right now as we speak. And I called it in 6, but it might be 5. I'd hate to see him beat the Warriors on their home court.
It's not look, you can make the argument, and I'm fine with you believing Kawhi is the best player in the NBA. His argument is on display in front of us right now. But I don't think it's undisputed, bar none. I think for the first time in a long time, that question is up for debate. And that title is up for grabs. And, you know, someone's going to grab it and hold it for a while. That's generally how it works. But I don't think anybody has done that quite yet. How about Michael in Toronto? Michael, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. So thank you for taking my call. I want to say good morning to all my Canadian family, American cousins. When I listen to this debate about who's the best in the NBA right now, and I have to still give it to LeBron James. At the end of the day, it's like in boxing. Until you knock out the champ, he's still the champ. LeBron, he had a tough season this year, but he's going to come back, right? The Warriors, they had a tough season. If they really want to win, if Kevin Durant really wants to win, him and Kyrie, he should tell Kyrie, take your stuff, come to Golden State next year. Reset the game.
Well, I don't think that's even a feasible situation.
Well, they made it work. Three guys took less money in Miami to win championships.
Not like that. They still basically took slightly less money. They basically were under max contracts. Nobody took the mid-level exception or anything like that.
Yeah, but if Kevin Durant would be crazy to leave Golden State, because he leaves Golden State, he goes somewhere else, he loses for 3-4 years, and he'll be regretting, like how Kobe regretted the arguments he had with Shaq. Yeah, because at the end of the day, what you play for is championships. I mean, the regular season is a regular season, but you see it. At the end of the year, it's all about championships. And until somebody dethrones LeBron James is a LeBron James, right? Kawhi has done so much for the league, especially for Canada. All these little kids now, every one of them, they believe they can be Kawhi. And you've seen this whole progression, because living in Toronto, I used to play in a men's league right after work, and you come down to the ACC and you see Stephen and Seth, two little brothers, and they're Del Curry's kids, and they're playing pickup. And see 15, 18, 20 years later, they're in the NBA. You know? And so it gives all these little kids hope, you know?
Well, you know, I don't think necessarily the lesson should be look at the greatest athletes on planet Earth and that's what you should be aspiring to. If you're a really good athlete, go for it. But I don't think little Billy You know, or let me use my son as an example. I am not preparing for my son Raj to be the next Kawhi Leonard or the next Steph Curry or the next Fred VanVleet. You know, like, I am not preparing for that. And I wouldn't tell him to necessarily prepare for that. But Kawhi is a great player. Definitely a great player. It's hard to play in the NBA. Like, I don't think people realize how hard that is sometimes. The entire world plays basketball, right? It's now a global game, second to soccer. In this country, it's a massive sport. It's easy to play. You only need a ball and a court. That's it, right? You don't need any other. You don't need a stick. You don't need skates. You don't need a club. You don't need a bat. You don't need a helmet. A ball and a court. There is tremendous incentive to play. You get paid a ton of money if you play. And there is minimal risk to playing, right? Like, it's not like you're, you know, going to get CTE from playing basketball. So there's never been anyone who was able to play in the NBA and was like, nah, I'm going to go do something else. Like, you've never had that happen, right? You've had guys who tried to play basketball and it didn't work out, go on to become the greatest tight end in history, like a few times, Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez and stuff like that. You know, hey, I'm not quite good enough at basketball, let me try football. Oh, I'm the best tight end ever. But you've never seen the reverse situation. You've never seen somebody go, yeah, the NBA, it's not for me, I'm going to go somewhere else. So it's easy to play. Tons of people play it. There's tons of incentive to play it. And there's 450 slots in the entire league. Like, the guys that are playing in the NBA are so ridiculously good, it's almost beyond the ability to fathom how good they are. And if you're watching them from the front row, don't shove them. Get to that story coming up. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Look, I'm not going to totally rehash the whole situation with Kyle Lowry and that dude Mark Stevens. I think everything that needs to be said on that has been said for the most part, right? If you touch a player, you put your hands on a player, you got to be gone. And you can be gone for good, as far as I'm concerned. You say something racist or derogatory or mean-spirited past a line, gone. You could be gone for good, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I saw some, like, wild overreactions, and this is just from a few people, but, like, talking about protecting the players and putting some barriers and stuff. I don't think this is the incident to react like that over, right? I mean, I was just talking about, these guys are the best athletes on planet Earth. And, you know, part of the whole experience is how close everybody is. And, you know, a lot of them are great guys and showmen, too. And you see them interacting with the front row as well. So I don't think there's drastic action that needs to be taken. And then as far as Stevens goes himself, you know, I saw some questioning of the NBA. What was the punishment of a one-year ban and a $500,000 fine? Like, is it enough? I mean, what exactly is an effective punishment at that point? I mean, they could have banned him for life. Trust me, I have no problem with it. I'd have no problem with it. But does that really do anything to a guy like him? Like, what is the effective punishment? I bet you they make him sell his shares in the team. And the idea that he's being dubbed an owner is pretty ridiculous, too. That guy's not an owner of the team. He has shares. I mean, he might walk around and call himself an owner of the team. But I can buy a bunch of stock and something. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not the owner of that company. There's a big difference between, you know, the owners as we typically think of them. The word owner, too. I want to talk about that in a second. But the this guy being an owner. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's an investor in the team. He's an investor, which means he's rich. Look at where he's sitting. He's rich, right? So, I mean, what is the proper punishment? I mean, LeBron had brought up that if Kyle Lowry had done that, people would be losing their minds. And he's absolutely 100% correct. But I think because of things like what he said and what other people said, people lost their minds about this too. I mean, I think the reaction was plenty strong enough to this guy. What he did is unacceptable. You can't do that, period. I mean, it wasn't a hard shot. It wasn't a dangerous thing. again, it's not something. It's not like foul balls in baseball where people's lives are on the line and people are getting injured. It's a human decency thing. You know, you don't treat somebody else like that. Don't do that to somebody. You know, show respect. And these guys are not out there for you to mock or demean or physically make contact with. So I actually think the reaction was pretty appropriate. The punishment itself, I mean, we're always calling for more and more and more. I don't really see what exactly is the appropriate punishment. I don't. Again, if they had said we're banning him for life, it wouldn't have bothered me. If they make him sell his shares, I think that's probably something they should do just for looks. But if the punishment itself remains a one-year ban and $500,000, I also think, all right, that's taking action against it. I don't know if doing more actually has any impact. You know what I think the most effective punishment actually is? The public shaming this guy's getting. I keep looking down, but I remember his name enough where I think I could say it confidently without having to read it. Mark Stevens is his name, right? So when I hear the name Mark Stevens, what do I think? Oh, that clown who pushed Kyle Lowry. To me, that's the punishment right there. That's the most effective. Hey, what are you doing, dude? This is unacceptable. This is, you know, who do you think you are? Because I promise you, that guy's never been humbled like that before in his life. You know, whatever he's doing, whatever his real job is, the fact that he can afford those seats and he thought for a second, I can just do this. And there's not going to be any blow, but this is something I can do. He found out, no, that's not something you can do. And I believe the reaction overall is the best preventative action. Because this is a personal responsibility deal, right? Like, you have to be responsible for your own actions. Fans, part owners, whomever, you have to act a certain way. You can't act, you know, however you feel like it. You have to be mindful of your environment and of other people. So I think the best overall lesson is anybody who's acting entitled like that or is out of pocket or, you know, thinks they can just do whatever they want, they see the reaction to this and they might go, oh, okay. Now, in the moment, they're probably not thinking about it. Maybe it's alcohol feud, maybe it's pride feud or whatever. Fueled. Something will happen again, I'm sure. But as far as a deterrent, I do think the reaction to this overall is about as good a deterrent as you're going to get. And I believe as far as a punishment for this guy, the best punishment that you can have is, look at this guy. What's his name? Mark Stevens? Yeah, I don't like him. He embarrassed himself. He's banned. He's fined. On and on and on. That's probably better than any ban that you could give him or any fine that you could give him, to be honest. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Joe in Alabama. Joe, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? You Good. Know, I'm going to say this has been out there. If they make him sell his stock, that man comes out so far ahead, he's going to make $1.5 million.
Yeah.
He invested $8 million.
Well, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but yeah, that's a valid point.
He invested $800 million was, I believe, is the best that they're saying. And if he were to sell, he makes $2.3 billion. So I would take that investment any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, right? Because there's not – people want to see action taken. What's the appropriate action? What's actually going to be effective? Again, I think the best probably deterrent is the reaction that did happen. That's probably the best possible deterrent. And I think the best possible punishment for this guy is the public shaming he got. Nobody wants that, especially somebody like him who probably, you know, he went through life thinking he could shove Kyle Lowry. So he didn't expect to wake up the next day and see his name there, and he did. and then have everybody have an opinion on it and, you know, deride him and clown him and all that stuff. That's probably the most effective punishment. I don't know. It's a, you know, but I don't want to see any drastic overreactions to it either.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to get to you guys on the phone in just a second. 855-212-4227. Was talking about the Mark Stevens situation. Obviously, we talked about the NBA Finals, whether it's over, whether Kevin Durant returns or not. But I was making fun of this Stevens guy for being called an owner, you know, given that, you know, he's an investor in the team. He would make a profit if he sold his shares, by the way. So I don't know if that's exactly punishment. What was the number, Brian, the exact
profit? $180 million profit.
$180 million profit.
Not bad.
But the word owner was in the news a little bit this week, and I want to touch on that quickly. I think it was originally TMZ Sports that put out a report that the NBA was trying to phase out the term owner. And then, of course, some of the usual suspects got into a tizzy about, like, oh, how could you, this is so stupid. And on the surface, like, do these guys own the team? Yeah, they're the majority owners of the team, right? So the word is appropriate in that sense. It's accurate, I guess, would be the word I would use. Accurate in that sense. If this were to be going down, you know, Draymond Green's comments before where he didn't really like the term, and you understand where he's coming from as well, given the history of black people in this country and that word when it's generally associated with rich white people. But here's why I have a problem with this. I feel like the reaction to this story was not in good faith. You know, there is this backlash to quote-unquote PC culture, right? And, you know, I think sometimes people go way over the top with being offended by any and everything or trying to thought police everything. And it makes me mad sometimes because I feel like real issues, when there's a real severe thing that needs to be addressed, people won't take you seriously because of all the little mini crises that you see out there about things that aren't as important, you know, because certain things need to be addressed, you know, like there should not be racism. Right? Like that should not be a controversial statement, right? Like it drives me crazy that could be a controversial statement to some people. But in this case, I don't even think this applies. I don't think this, you know, removing the term owner applies because this was not something people were like campaigning for or you know, saying we're going to cancel the NBA if they don't do this. This wasn't one of those outrage reactions that we see, you know, those pocketed outrage reactions. And sometimes the outrage is appropriate because action needs to be taken and change needs to happen because we're dealing with very serious issues, whether it's human rights or, you know, the state of the country or the state of the planet or, you know, real things versus something a comedian said that might have been offensive to five people, you know. But this wasn't that. This wasn't that. This wasn't people losing their minds online and the liberals or the PC police demanding a change and overreacting. That didn't happen. This seems like it was done quietly behind the scenes by the NBA trying to be proactive. And maybe they thought to themselves, you know what? Draymond had a point. We have a predominantly black league. Maybe it's not the best idea for us to use the term owner. We can phase that out quietly, call them CEOs, whatever name you want to call it, and move on. And let's be frank. Is there any downside to that? No. Right? There's zero downside. So this was not caused by some sort of crazy, overly PC reaction. This was not some public campaign from the NBA. If it's true, it was something that went behind the scenes and they thought, you know what, maybe this is a good idea. And there's literally no one who gets hurt by this. There's no downside to it. The only thing that happened was the news got out there somehow, and then the people who wanted to make it their thing made it their thing, and they're the ones who actually blew it out of proportion. Because this had this happened quietly, we wouldn't even noticed. You wouldn't have heard me talking about it. You hadn't heard anybody demanding it. The only overreaction that's actually happened to this story, the reason I'm even speaking about it, is because, I think it was in bad faith by people who saw this story and went, look what they're doing again. Oh, this is so stupid. Nobody was even talking about it. It wasn't done publicly, wasn't being demanded, and there's no downside to it. So I reject the reactions to this story because I think it's the people who are upset about it who are the ones who are making it a big deal and really no one else. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Let's go to Christian in Birmingham, Alabama. Christian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Rob?
Good, man. How are you?
It's all good. I just want to discuss that Kyle Lowry getting shoved situation.
Sure.
I mean, to be honest, to be frank, if it was Kyle Lowry, it would be an outrage. But I mean, what made him so entitled to feel he can just shove anybody? I mean, and if Kyle Lowry felt so bold enough, he probably could have sued him. Because if it was like street ball, Kyle, that probably wouldn't fly.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know if it was alcohol. I don't know if it's entitlement. I don't know if it's privilege, whatever word you want to use, right? Like, if this is a guy who just goes through life not thinking of the repercussions of his actions because his life is good, if it was a guy who was caught up in a bad moment, I have no idea, right? It's just something you shouldn't do. That's the only thing I know.
I mean, I would say I kind of think privilege because, honestly, God, you say he's not
he's an investor of the team. Like, he's an owner in the sense of, like, you would be an owner if you had a bunch of stock in a company. Like, but you're not the majority shareholder. You're not the person making the decisions. You're not the person that we're typically designating as the owner. You're an investor in the company.
And it brings a big question up, too, also. Like, it makes you think of, what's the borderline? It makes you think of Malice in the Palace or pretty much when fans get into it with players, the majority of the time they say derogatory things. I'll heckle, but I won't actually like do anything along the lines of Drake or anything like that. That's a bit too much.
Well, I mean, even you could call it what Drake did too much, but it's not the same as this either. Like, it's a personal thing. Like, it's a personal action and responsibility thing. Like, take accountability for your own actions. Don't act like a fool. Don't act disrespectful to people. Don't act hateful to people. It shouldn't be hard. Shouldn't need to be said. Like, right? Like, it's amazing to me that it's something that needs to be uttered. John in Syracuse, New York. John, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. Before we talk about Stevens, just really looking forward to KD leaving Golden State and getting on a team where he can actually earn some rings, because the stunt he pulled when he left Oklahoma going to a 72-win team, I thought that really wrecked the competition of the NBA.
73, technically.
73, okay. Yeah. But I think Steve Kerr, the best coach in the NBA, is going to take that cap space and bring in some great players. They'll still be the best team in the NBA, even without KD, once Kerr remanipulates that team. But when it comes to Stevens, I did a little research. I'm trying to fathom what was on his mind when he pushed Lowry. What was he thinking about? And if you remember, if you watch the replays, there was a woman that Lowry nearly bowled over. He missed her by a couple of inches. She patted Lowry on the back a couple times, saying, "Way to hustle." And then she patted him on the cheek. And I think she was saying to him, "Are you okay?" That woman, I did some research, is Stevens' wife. So very strange, total discombobulation of family reaction to that situation. And there was a gentleman in the replay who You could see patting Lowry on the back and trying to help him up, pulling him. He's actually the guy Lowry semi-landed on. He is one of the he was accompanying Stevens to the game. They're friends, apparently. So what in God's name? Why would this guy have such a completely different reaction?
I don't know, John. I don't know the guy, yeah. Right? Like, I don't know if he's a jerk. I don't know if he had a bad moment. I don't know if he thinks he can do whatever he wants. I don't know if he was drunk. I don't know if he didn't realize what he was doing. I mean, I don't know. All I know is you shouldn't do it. And I think the best possible punishment that he could get is exactly what's happening now. You got people calling into the radio going, what is this guy doing? You know, who are you? You know, that to me is probably the most effective. You know, what's he going to feel the worst about? Not getting to go to a game for a year or having his reputation smeared? I'm guessing the latter, right? I mean, we would all care about that. I would care about it if I know I did something wrong. I mean, I would have earned it. But, you know, no one wants to hear themselves talked about in those terms, in that manner, publicly, for the world to hear on basically every outlet that there is. How about Jason in Louisiana? Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jason?
Good morning. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Look, I don't want to sound like a butthole or nothing, but if somebody ran into me and stayed on me for a couple seconds, I'd be trying to get him off of me, but I gotta admit, when he kind of shoved him, he kind of went about it the wrong way. But it was a jarring back and forth.
Well, Lowry didn't land on him. He landed on somebody else. Stevens reached over and pushed Lowry. You know, Lowry Stevens is not the guy that Lowry landed on.
Now
the shove itself was not like it was. I want to be careful because I treat every situation on its own merits, right? The shove itself was not some sort of super violent thing. It's not some sort of dangerous thing. It's a respect and, you know, a way you should conduct yourself thing. You don't do that. Don't put your hand on somebody like that.
I think it's jarring back and forth.
Well, yeah, he also apparently said some stuff to Lowry. But he wasn't the guy that it would be different if Lowry landed on the guy and the guy was like, oh, you know, reactionary getting him off. Stevens was not that guy. He was like a seat and a half over and he reached over and shoved as if like Lowry had barreled into the row on purpose.
I think the issue really with the owners and the NBA is the owners kind of feel privileged. The investors as well, to where they just feel like they can do what they want. And I think the league needs to address that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the league did address it. I mean, that's an issue that goes above the NBA, right? Like sometimes super rich guys never have to deal with any consequences for anything, you know, never have to deal with any hardship in any way. And that can lead to a level of entitlement. I don't know. I don't know what caused this guy to act the way he did. I don't know. I think, to be honest, I think the story was handled. Look, maybe there were some overreactions from some people who said that they need to put a barrier up, or there were some people that went a little bit too far, but overall, and, you know, there's always hysteria when one of these stories becomes the story in a news cycle. So everybody's talking about it and it just feels like it's going crazy because you're hearing it from every direction. But I think overall this was handled fairly appropriately, right? This happened. People said it shouldn't have happened. People said it can't happen. The NBA did something. Over. Right? I mean, that's how I feel about it. Don't put your hand on a player. Of course not. Don't say anything messed up to a player. Of course not. If you do so, you should be held accountable for your actions. Move on. Now, I hope it is a lesson. I do hope there is, you know, something to be learned from this so that it's not repeated, so that other people don't think they can act this way. But I don't know what else to do or what else can be done. I'm not going to do anything. I don't know what else can be done or said about this particular incident. I kind of think, for the most part, that has been exhausted. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Has NBA free agency already started? I think it may have. I wonder if Kyrie Irving has already chosen the Brooklyn Nets, and the team is now trying to use that as leverage to make another move, whether that's also signing a Kevin Durant or whether that's putting together a trade package for Anthony Davis or looking at one of the, you know, Jimmy Butler or whoever else is out there on the market. I mean, it certainly feels that way, the way that's been reported. And Brooklyn knows what they're doing. Well-run organization. It's pretty amazing they've gotten to where they were to where they are at this point. And if Kyrie's already chosen the Nets, how big a difference does that make in your mind? Just the idea of Kyrie being in Brooklyn. One, because of who Kyrie Irving is and what he is as a player. But two, as far as what it could mean for other moves for that franchise and how desirable that franchise is looking to NBA players at this very moment. 855-212-4227. We'll talk about that. I also want to ask you, does any supposed GOAT have it better than Roger Federer? Because I don't know if they do. I don't talk tennis all that much, but I looked up some of the stuff after Nadal smoked Federer. Yesterday was that? Yeah, yesterday in straight sets. And, you know, there's a lot of yeah buts in the Roger Federer GOAT case. And usually when you're sitting on that perch in other sports, it gets scrutinized a little bit more harshly than his case has been. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.